You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 11th of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've opened the 11th door on our advent calendars, and it's Friday once again, and you know what that means? It means that we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good day, sir. Are you in Christmas festive spirit? How are you doing?
I think saying Merry Christmas is probably, you know, if you're listening, you don't know what sort of revolutionary things you can say. Say, I don't have a show. I'm not, you know, on the cutting edge like Sven Longshanks or Grandpa Lampshade. You know, I don't know what sort of revolutionary thing. Just tell people Merry Christmas, because I tell you what, the communists, they hate it. These people in clown world, they hate Christmas. They hate they try to turn it into Xmas. They try to turn it into happy holidays. And you could just being revolutionary just by wishing people a Merry Christmas. And yes, I'm feeling in quite the festive spirit, and it looks like we have quite the festive topic this week's fan. I was thinking that, you know, one of these days I think I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the audience and just have you not send me any hints of what the show is going to be about, and I will just jump in and try to just try to take it in as you throw it at me. So because today's story is just, I don't know if I'm better for having read it beforehand or not.
Well, I've actually held on to this story for a week. Last week, I did a couple of podcasts to do with the trans agenda, and I spoke a bit about the way that it's being promoted to children. And also I spoke about the actual physical side of it, and we had a good bit of news there as well. They were effectively stopping the prescribing of hormones and puberty blockers to children. And this story today deals with a trans couple, a male and a female, that have had twins. And just before we get into that, I just want to point out, I am not mean to trans people. And although I disagree very much with the way that the law is being used to force us to pretend that biological reality is not reality, if I ever come across trans people, then I'd be the first person to ask them how they would like to be referred to. And I did in actual fact work with a trans person, and I was the only one there that actually took the time to ask them what they would like to be called, whether they had a male or a female name. And I was the only person there that actually did that. The rest of the people there used to mock them, and I had a lot of sympathy for them. I really did. I have a lot of pity for these people that are confused. And I would suggest that any of our listeners, if they ever come across them, then ask them what they would prefer to be called by. That is not the issue. Obviously, you want to be courteous to everyone. You know, there's no need to be rude to anyone. What the issue here is, the way that the law is being used to force us to pretend that reality is not reality, that biological reality, that somebody is biologically a man, we're being told that we have to say that they're a woman. And the knock-on effect of this, of course, is that when children go to the doctor and say, oh, I think I might be the opposite gender, the doctors can't say, well, it might be that you're autistic, or it might be that you're bipolar, or it might be that you've got body dysmorphia. They have to reaffirm the person's gender. That is the issue. That is the problem that we have here, and all the things that follow on from that. And I say this is today's news story. It comes in as one of the associated problems with this. Adrienne and Michael Elson Stephen from Belfast have become the first transgender couple in the UK to have twins. They put their gender reassignments on hold to try for a baby, and after years of failed pregnancy attempts, grief and upset, they have spent the last 31 days and nights in a blissful baby fog. Last month, Michael, 42, formerly called Lindsay, had girls Kristin and Mavis by caesarean section, while proud mum Adrienne nervously waited for their birth. Exhausted but elated, they're changing 20 nappies a day after Kristin arrived on November the 4th, followed 2 minutes later by sister Mavis at the Royal Victoria Hospital Belfast in the Jubilee maternity unit. So we have two things here. The first is what has basically happened is a man and a woman have had a child together. It's not that this is a man and a man or a woman and a woman. It's a man and a woman. They've had a child together, but the man and the woman are confused people and they identify with the opposite gender. So that's the first thing. The second thing in this is that we are told that that's what is going on here. We've got somebody who was born into the wrong body. Well, if you were born into the wrong body, if this was a woman, and in actual fact, it was really a man that had been born into the body of a woman, the last thing they would be wanting to do is get pregnant, because they would be a man, and men don't want to get pregnant. So the fact that we have things like this that happen when trans women basically that are portraying themselves as men, that they actually have children, it shows that it's not actually true. That is not the problem there. It's not that a man has been born into a woman's body or a woman has been born into a man's body. And what they mean by a gender reassignment here is basically they must have held off taking the hormones, because once you start taking the opposite gender's hormones, then it's going to render you infertile, which is why it's so dangerous to do this to children. But Grandpa, what are your first thoughts on this transgender couple having twins?
Like I said, it's kind of like I have to spoil myself with the show notes, you know, and having gone through the, you know, read through, skimmed through this, the show notes, the story that we're looking at today, you know, I know that this is like when you're on that roller coaster and you're going up to the top of the thing, we're fixing to drop right off down into the rabbit hole. And we're all going to put up our hands and start screaming, because it gets crazier from here on out. And a piece of good news, it appears that they, you know, as far as the children are concerned, the babies that were born, they did go ahead and acknowledge their actual genders as they were, you know, born. So they didn't try to say, well, I think this little girl is going to be a little boy. So, you know, that's a piece of good news. And I do think you bring up a good point, you know, with the point you brought up at the opening part of the segment, is it's not about hostility towards these people. It's about the problem isn't about these folks individually. The problem is that these people, this transgender thing is being used as a weapon against society. And, you know, these people are being used for an agenda. And if they cease to be useful for that agenda, they'll be simply discarded. If the people in power that are pushing this and using it as a weapon against society as a whole, if it would further their goals, they would throw these people in camps or execute them. I mean, I really believe that. That's just using them as a useful tool. It's the same with any number of these things we see being used to bludgeon society, from these, you know, Black Lives Matter protests. It's not about helping black people. They did a survey, and these majority of black people in black neighborhoods want more police, not less. You have Black Lives Matter demanding abolish the police. Well, the blacks aren't wanting that. So it's not about helping them. It's just, well, blacks are useful as a weapon to bludgeon society. And when it comes to this trans thing, it's very much the same thing. And that is really what we're talking about here, is pointing out how it's being used as a weapon against society. And yeah, I'm assuming there's going to be a link to the original story in the deal, and folks can look at the, you know, the people involved here. And it's... yeah, I don't think we'll get into the rest of the story here, and it'll start kind of making more sense of what happened. But yeah, it's it gets crazier from here on out for sure.
Well, the person obviously enjoyed having the children, carrying the children, because that's what they were created to do. But unfortunately, they had modified their bodies so that they had to have a caesarean section in order to bring these babies out. I mean, it's not something that should be celebrated. The babies were conceived using their mum Adrienne's sperm to fertilise donor eggs, which were carried to full term by their dad, Michael, during a gruelling pregnancy. Adrienne, 49, originally from Liverpool, works as a train shunter. And Michael, 42, from County Armagh, is a trans rights specialist. So here is where the problem sets in, because we're told that the mum, Adrienne's sperm, mums cannot produce sperm. Sperm is produced by XY chromosomes. And they say that the donor eggs were carried to full term by their dad, Michael, during a grueling pregnancy. But that is not physically possible. What we are being told here is not physically possible, and it's because they have written into law how these people would like life to be, and it's not how life is. And this is why we have this confusion here, and this confusion is going to be carried on to these children when they're being brought up. If they see both parents dressing in the opposite gender's clothes and being called by the different name, they're going to end up referring to people by the wrong genders when they're talking to their friends' parents. I mean, you're basically setting these children up for a lot of confusion when they are adults. And of course, the parents here will not have been told that, because to actually tell them that, I guess the person telling them could be accused of hate speech for trying to point this out to them and not pretending that everything is fine. And this is the sort of thing that happens in the natural world, because it isn't the sort of thing that happens in the natural world. Grandpa, what do you think of the confusion that is just apparent in these two sentences here?
Well, the older you get, the more reference you have before, you know, so someone my age, I've got the time reference, you know, to draw on of when we didn't live in an absurd, ridiculous society clown world. I mean, this isn't like an Onion article. This isn't a parody article. This is a story that is being brought and presented like with a straight face. And they talk about the babies were brought about by mom's sperm. I mean, in what world does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. And now they had to use donor eggs. And that's what I was alluding to earlier. If you look at the picture of the people involved, obviously the woman, now man, was further along in the process. You could tell that by looking than the man, now a woman, because the man, now a woman, was still able to produce sperm, where the woman, who's now referenced as a man, is having to use donor eggs. But I mean, obviously the plumbing was still there. Why did the man, quote unquote, have to carry the babies? Because, well, the man, quote unquote, has a womb. The quote unquote mom does not have a womb. The quote unquote mom has sperm. This is also absurd, and it flies in the face of nature, just flies in the face of reality. And yet here we are at this stage of clown world. It's being presented as the serious thing. And somebody had to sit here and write this article with a straight face, acting as though this is real. Not to mention, what the hell is a trans rights specialist and how much does it pay? You know, once again, you live in a decadent society where you actually have made up jobs such as this. What's your career? I'm a trans rights specialist. Really, who pays for that? It has to be the government or somebody at some level, because nobody in the real world, you know, nobody in a manufacturing capacity, like when we're building these widgets that are necessary for the society to function, we build these products, we need a trans rights specialist on the team. No, nobody does that in the real world. But, you know, in clown world, they make up these sort of positions. And now you're going to have these children growing up in this. And, you know, dad is mom, mom is dad. You know, then at some point they've got to go to school, and their parents will be going to school functions. And you have this picture, like I say, if you look at the picture of the people involved, you're not fooling anybody. I mean, you're looking at this and so, oh, well, okay. It's a man and a woman, only the woman is dressed up like a man, and the man, who looks very much like a man, is dressed up like a woman, but that's mom and dad. At what point as a society do we abandon this absurdity? This isn't even it's just laughable and over the top. And again, as part of this agenda that they use to bludgeon society, I think they purposely use these stories. You know, they use people that look ridiculous. I really do. I mean, time and again, you know, whether it's a story such as this or a story where they're talking about, you know, oh, this trans person wanted to use the ladies' bathroom and wasn't allowed to. They never present like a trans person that, like, you know, oh, wow, I wouldn't know if they didn't tell me. They always bring out some guy that looks like this big old dude in a dress. You know, they always do that. It's like time and time again. And to me, I'm looking at the pictures here, and I feel like once again, it's kind of that situation. I mean, you're not looking at this and going, wow, I would totally think that was a girl if I didn't know. But they always bring up these cases where it just looks like a big old hulking dude in a dress, and we're supposed to take it serious. And I think that's really an aspect of how they use this to bludgeon society.
Well, it's like Black Lives Matter, isn't it? And the hero of the story always turns out to be a young thug with a list of crimes that he's already been prosecuted for. I mean, the really sad thing about this is that nature had already kitted both of them out absolutely perfectly for having children together. They've obviously fallen in love, but because of what they've each done to their bodies, the woman has done more to her body and was unable to provide her own eggs. I mean, imagine how much happier they would have been if the children could have been all theirs and not actually had to use somebody else's eggs. I find this just really sad that what they have done to themselves, and they've been prevented from actually having a family that is all their own because they've had to use donor eggs to do this. Adrienne, who was christened Adrian, said, "I postponed treatment when I met Michael and committed to trying for a child. Now Mavis and Kristen are our priority. I'm their mum and Michael their dad. If we transition fully, then it'll happen at the right time, dictated by our daughter's needs." Well, they are putting their needs ahead of the daughters, aren't they? Because if they really thought about their daughter's needs, they would not be having children when they're obviously so confused themselves. How can they hope for their children to lead unconfused lives when they're adults, when they're being brought up by parents like this? I mean, how would they have liked to have been brought up by parents with confused genders? We just don't know what that effect is going to be on children. And if they were putting the children's needs first, they would not have carried out this experiment in the first place. I do find it amazing that they say here it will happen at the right time, dictated by our daughter's needs. And how are they ever going to know that? Because the children aren't going to know any different, are they? And they're certainly not going to say the opposite of what their parents say. They're just going to convince themselves that it's actually what their daughters want is for them to continue transitioning when the daughters themselves aren't really going to know any different. And naturally, what the daughters need is a mother and father, which is what they have. But instead of actually having that how everybody else has it, that their mother and father are confused and are dressing up in the opposite gender's clothes. I mean, it's just a recipe for needing a psychiatrist when these children become adults. It's so sad that they have been taught that this is absolutely a fine and wonderful thing to do, because I'm sure that if they really thought about this and they knew this sort of, and they knew the way of looking at the world that we do, Grandpa, I doubt whether these people would have done this to these children. Well, what do you make of what they say here about it will happen at the right time, dictated by our daughter's needs?
Well, you point out that the woman had to use donor eggs, you know, and another part of that, besides this process they were going through, is the fact she waited till she was 49. And, you know, even if she wasn't going through this process, she probably would have been in that situation anyway, because she's squandered her life around not doing, you know, what her natural urges come to. Now, I think it's amazing that even through all of this, even through all this fog, even with, you know, the society promoting this stuff 24/7, these two people have come back around to their natural desire, you know, back to the natural order. They deny it. They deny it with all of this nonsense, but they came back around to having this desire to procreate and have children of their own. But it's excuses. I just find it ironic that they so casually say their daughter's needs. Well, how do they know they're their daughters? They may actually be their sons if this gender thing is something that's going to just be fluid and change, you know, willy-nilly or whatever down the road. But yet, you know, for the sake of, I don't know, some sort of sanity, I guess, they have looked at these two children, these two babies, and said, oh, they're girls. But they were unable to do that, you know, with themselves, which is just, I don't know. It doesn't dawn on people. I do think it's sad, not just with the children, but the fact that, you know, like say this woman waited till she was 49 now to do this. One of the great things that's really a tragedy in people's lives is they buy into these lies and they chase folly and time. You can't get time back. And you wind up chasing this folly, this deception, and those years roll by, and then you wake up and you're 49. You've been doing this thing for years, and you realize, I want to have kids. What am I doing? I want to have kids, but you can't go back and get those years back. And it really is a real evil thing. It's a tragic thing that people lose those years. They can't go back. She can't go back before doing this to herself. She can't go back to when she was fertile and, like you said, have children that are their own. She can't do that because that time has gone by and it's been squandered. And now here you are and you're trying to somehow make up for that the best you can. But it's not, you can't go back and fix it. So you wind up with this patched together thing, and yet they're still holding on to this delusion because, as you said, you're going to wind up, you know, here's mom, here's dad, and the children will instinctively be like, that's confusing. No, this should be mom and that should be dad. And it's just, as you said, it's going to be a rough road ahead for sure.
Well, it's incredible that what we've really got here is a man and a woman. I mean, they've been telling themselves that they're transgender and that they're confused about their gender, but in actual fact, they've discovered love the natural way between a man and a woman. It's just that each one of them has modified themselves, and unfortunately, they will never be able to enjoy the sort of intimacy that a man and a woman that have not biologically modified themselves are able to enjoy. You know, there's another sad part about this. It's being celebrated, and in actual fact, it's an absolute tragedy what has gone on here. But they won't be able to come to terms with that because of what they've done to themselves. They have to now reinforce the way that they are, and that is going to be reinforced on the children, like a reinforced view of reality, which is in actual fact the opposite of how reality is. Adrienne and Michael met at the Butterfly Club, a trans support group in Belfast in 2010, and the attraction was instant, but they remained shy about revealing their feelings for weeks. Michael said Adrienne came after her ballet classes, still wearing her ballet outfit, and looked really cute. I never thought she'd even notice me. But Adrienne had noticed Michael right from the start. She said, when I met Michael and my stomach flipped, he was so clever and engaging and very funny. I started putting out signals that I liked him, but he didn't notice, so I assumed he wasn't interested. And I have to wonder just how a man trying to put out female signals while dressed in this ballet dancer's dress when he's obviously overweight, how that looked. It's like they're just putting on a play. They're just trying to put out signals as a woman, but it's not a woman. I mean, it's like watching some kind of a pantomime or something. It's as if they're just playing these parts. They're playing their roles. They're desperately trying to play as an actor. They're trying to play the part of somebody else because they're not happy in the role that they have. They're not happy in the bodies that they have. That's what's so sad about this. They're not happy the way that they are. And so they try to pretend that they're somebody else, right down to the point of emulating the signals that the opposite gender would actually put out. That's why I cut this bit out, Grandpa. I just found this bit here interesting here where she said, I started putting out signals that I liked him. And I just wonder whether men are capable of understanding all the signals that women actually give and whether women who are pretending to be men, whether they understand all the signals that men actually put out. I mean, quite clearly they don't. And I think, again, there's just more confusion here. What do you make of this quote here that I pulled out?
I agree on the confusion aspect because I'm sitting in on this show and I'm confused as hell. You know, I don't know. One of the hardest things I think for people to do one of the hardest things, no matter what it is to admit that, you know, you were wrong. And the longer you become invested in something, the more difficult it becomes to say, yeah, maybe I was wrong about that. You know, maybe this really isn't what I wanted. We go through the storm. We're laughing at it because it's so utterly absurd. But you can't help but to get the feeling, you know, like I said, I mean, the natural order kind of came back around. They, you know, this couple met, they decided they wanted to have children. And these are all very natural things. As you said, this is a man and a woman deciding to have kids. And it wouldn't be a news story except of the absurdity aspect of it. But the longer you become invested in something, it becomes more and more difficult, you know, to admit that you're wrong. And so, as you see here, it's like they're going further and further out on a limb to justify it instead of just saying, you know, maybe we should reconsider this. Maybe we should try to kind of pick up the pieces and make something of it, you know, and not keep doubling down on this, because it is going to at some point, you know, I mean, right now they're infants. They don't know. But at some point, it is going to affect the children. And if they were being honest about, you know, what's best for our daughters, then they're going to have to swallow it. They're going to have to swallow their pride and that investment and say, you know, what's best for our daughters is that we just admit that, you know, maybe this wasn't the life, you know, the way we should have gone here. Let's do what we can to salvage it for our daughter's sake. I mean, even if they still feel that way, you know, life's about sacrifices sometimes, and especially if you're talking about your children. You're talking about your children, it's all about sacrifice. You have to do all sorts of things. You have to sacrifice all sorts of things that you want because you want what's best for your children. And if they're truly going to do what's best for their daughters, it's going to require, if they truly are, and I hope they are, I'm not going to be dismissive of that and say, well, they're not going to, because we don't know that. But if they truly are, it's going to be a tough road, because they're going to have to admit, you know, that all of this time they've invested on this path really maybe wasn't so much what they wanted to do after all. And you're going to have to swallow that and say, well, let's try to salvage this. Let's try to get to some sort of normalcy, even though I may still feel this way, but for the sake of our children. And that's something, if that decision were to be made, regardless of what they've done in the past and how far along they've gone through this transition thing, you know, that would be something to be applauded, because it is a very brave thing and a hard thing to admit you're wrong and to take a different path, because human nature is just to keep doubling down, no matter how disastrous it becomes and how damaging it becomes, not just to yourself, but to those around you. That's kind of human nature. So the brave path to take, and I hope maybe they eventually will, is as they watch their children grow up, realize that regardless of maybe I feel this way, you know, for the sake of our children and because it's better for them, I'm going to sacrifice that. We're going to try to kind of reverse some course here as best we can and try to, you know, let our children have a sense of normalcy. But see, we don't live in a society that promotes normalcy. We live in a society that promotes abnormalcy. That is what's heralded. That is what's celebrated. But on an instinctual level, people know. People know what's normal and what is not normal. And yeah, so I'm hoping maybe as they watch their children grow up, if they do keep a mindset that we want what's best for our daughters, then maybe they'll be willing to make that sacrifice.
Well, the problem is they can't reverse these body modifications. They're kind of stuck with it how it is. But and what it really says is that he likes masculine women and she likes feminine men. And that's essentially what we have here. But they've carried out these body modifications, which prevent them from being intimate in the way that other people, a male and a female, are normally able to be intimate. So it's an absolute tragedy on that score. And also the fact that they had the children while after they were already in this state, after they'd already had this body modification. Well, Adrian and Michael, who got engaged in 2012 and had a church blessing in 2014, were left enough money in the will of a friend to pay for IVF, first at the Manchester Fertility Clinic Cheadle in 2018, then twice at the Instituto Bernabeu Alicante, Spain last year. The treatment in England cost £3,000 and £15,000 in Spain, where on the second attempt, Michael had two embryos placed in the womb, giving him a 60% chance of success. And again, the confusion in that sentence there, him and womb and a church blessing. I mean, the church should have been pointing out to them, well, look, you're a man and a woman, and you would probably be much happier together if you were living as a man and a woman. You know, there's nothing wrong with a man liking masculine women or a woman liking feminine men. It's still a man and a woman. The children are still being brought up with a man and a woman. It's just that there is this confusion there. And the fact that they are paying money like this to have children, it rather commodifies children, doesn't it? It rather says that they were looking at the children as a commodity. And I just find it a great shame that the church, instead of giving them instruction, has decided to bless this and pretend that it's all part of God's plan, that men pretend to be women and women pretend to be men. And that's quite clearly not a part of God's plan. That's a part of the modern world, unfortunately, because of the corruption of the media and the general degeneration in our morals, but also because of all the hormone disruptors that are in the environment. What do you make of the church blessing and the money they spent here on essentially purchasing a child, Grandpa?
Modern cuck church is going to modern cuck. I mean, that's not even, it should be shocking, but we're getting desensitized to it at this point. So, you know, sadly, it's not even shocking anymore. I don't even think it's necessarily a case of being attracted to a feminine man or a masculine woman, because again, I'm looking at the pictures, and if you remove, you know, if you switch the clothing around and put the quote unquote man in the dress and you put the quote unquote woman in the suit, it works. You know, I mean, the now man set of breast implants and grow the hair out, and nobody's going to sit there and be confused at all. And yeah, I mean, I don't know how far along, it's honestly none of my business. I don't even care. I know how far along in the process these people are, you know, and so what stage can be, you know, of it can be reversed. I know, you know, depending on how much, you know, they've actually done surgeries and such, that can't necessarily be undone. But again, sometimes you're just left with salvaging what you can.
Well, it just reminds me of the people that go for body modification. You know, they go for rings in their noses, or they go for tattoos. I think it's a similar thing that we have here. I mean, they're not homosexual. They're obviously attracted to the opposite sex, but they have this fetish for looking like the opposite sex. And another side of this, I think, is also the fact that they like being the center of attention. We can see that with the drag queen aspect of trans. Drag queens love to be the center of attention. And I think trans people like to be the center of attention. And because of this transgender, it's really played into that, especially with these kids at school that announce that they are trans. They then become the center of attention. And we can see that here as well. Michael said, as a trans man, pregnancy was a major challenge, not least being admitted to an all-female ward. He explained, the staff at the maternity unit were fantastic, and I was given a side room. The couple were so touched by the tenderness of the staff at the hospital, they even named one of the girls after the hospital. And I pulled this part out because they were given a side room. They were given special attention. The other women that were there, the other mothers there, I'm sure they would have loved to have been in a side room, but they don't get a side room. He gets a side room, or she gets a side room, because she's claiming to be trans. So they are expecting to be given special treatment. They're not expecting to be treated like everybody else. They want to be given this special treatment. You can't blame them for that. You know, they have a lot of psychological issues, and this is a chance for them to feel special. I think that plays into this as well. And Michael said, our journey to parenthood has been bumpy, and being a male and carrying a pregnancy for 9 months, then giving birth by caesarean section, really tested me. And again, if they hadn't gone through all this body modification, they could have had the child completely naturally, and the children could have had the benefits of passing out through the womb rather than being pulled out through a caesarean section. He continues, I believe all of us are a mix of male and female, and I just had to rely on my female physicality to become a dad. The girls' birth certificates and registration will name me as mother for now, but it's something we hope to change in time. Well, surely they must be happy now that they are a mother, because that's what they are. They just like to look male, but they're not actually male. It's just absolute madness, the confusion that this changes in law has brought about in places like hospitals, and when biological reality comes up against legislative reality. And I'm sure we've got far more confusion to arrive over time as we get further on into this. Grandpa, what do you make of the physicality of this, of actually giving birth?
It's when you just, I'm reading along with you, you know, I'm reading along with you, and this word salad of, you know, mental gymnastics to make sense of this, that this person is going through. Well, I believe that everybody's a mix of the two, and I had to depend on my female physicality. Well, yeah, because you are female. I mean, I if that's true, I it wouldn't matter. I couldn't give birth because I do not have female physicality. This person had female physicality because guess what? They're born female. And I think something I want to circle back to real quick that you touched on, and I know you've talked about it. I heard one of your shows last week or earlier in the week, one, you know, about, you know, this being, you know, among young people, this being pushed among young people. And it really is, you know, there are people that really have, you know, this drive to feel like they're the opposite gender. There are people that exist like that, for sure. But among young people, we're seeing this huge spike. And I know you pointed out on the previous show, you're seeing this huge spike in young people all of a sudden identifying, oh, I'm trans. Oh, I'm trans. All of a sudden you have all of this. Well, why? Because it's being pushed. It's almost like a fad for these people. Only, you know, as bad as like a bunch of ear piercings, a bunch of face piercings or tattoos, maybe you can wear a long sleeve shirt and cover that up. When they're promoting children going on puberty blockers and opposite hormones, when they're not old enough, they don't let them buy cigarettes. They don't let them buy alcohol because they can't make those sort of decisions. But yet they're going to bypass that. And because it's being promoted 24/7 and they get a lot of attention, they can, you know, they're going to go ahead and do these life altering things that could very much damage them for their future when they're not ready to make that sort of decision. So it really, there is this separate thing, because you do have people that are grown adults and they do have this real drive that they feel that they are the opposite gender. And I think that's a separate issue from when you talk about these young people who see it promoted and you get all of this attention and people pay special attention to you and celebrate it. And so they say, oh, yes, I'm that too, because that's what they perceive to be the socially acceptable thing. I thought you did a really good show on that, Sven, in pointing out how you take these young people that, again, you wouldn't let them go drive a car because they can't be responsible for that. You wouldn't let a 12-year-old or even a 13-year-old go drive a car because, well, they're not mature enough to make those decisions required for that, or go get a tattoo or buy cigarettes or buy alcohol. And yet they're putting these children on these drugs and starting these procedures that if a few years down the road, they're like, well, I'm over that now. Because a lot of young people go through confusing times. You got hormones usually will start kicking in at a certain point and they get confused. They're trying to figure out who they are. But when you have the government through the medical community jumping in and making life altering, permanent alterations of people that can't be undone over something that they may just work their way through, you know, that's really an alarming thing. And I realize that doesn't necessarily directly relate to what you covered here, but like I said, I listened to that show you did, and if anybody hasn't heard that show, it was just such a really good point that I thought it looked like a good opportunity, you know, to really bring that up here.
Well, I think I'll probably link those two previous shows with this one under some kind of trans discussion heading, because it all three together just about cover all the points with it that I think need covering. But just to finish this article off, being pregnant was a lot to deal with in my head, but in my heart, becoming a parent was my only priority. And using my body as a vessel to create these amazing little miracles and bring them into the world was just a means to an end. I haven't been able to chest feed, which was upsetting, but I'm back into my normal clothes and getting the hang of being a dad. I do fear being shouted at in the street, and I ask that we are left in peace to parent our children in a loving, caring, and safe home. And obviously, I hope they don't get shouted at in the street either. But unfortunately, because of these body modifications that they've gone through, she's unable to feed her own child. because of what she's done. And she says here that that was upsetting. Of course it's upsetting. And that is the way this should be looked at. It's a great tragedy that we have these people that have these confusions, and we are doing nothing to stop the confusion. We're doing everything that we can to encourage it and cause there to be more of this in society. We're dealing with it in completely the opposite way around to the way that it should be dealt with, not just because of the legal side of it, but just the confusion that this is causing among people, confusing the genders. I mean, gender is such an essential part of identity, that they're stripping our identity from us in so many different ways, and that it really does get to the heart of it, that it is identity that is their number one enemy. Grandpa, have you got any final thoughts on this before we finish?
Yeah, and it's things that can't be undone. I want to say it was a part of RT. They did a presentation and like an actual little documentary several years ago, where they went and found people that went through this, and then later on in life, you know, they regretted it. And so they were trying to do the best they could to like reverse the process they had gone through. But our society pretends those people don't exist, but they do exist. There are people that start going through this and they maybe go through the entire process, and then at the end of it, realize this was a horrible mistake. And then they try to undo it, but you know, you can, like this person here, you know, she really regrets not being able to breastfeed her babies, because of course that is like this basic bonding experience when infants are born and the mother breastfeeds them. That is like the bonding experience between a mother and child. She doesn't ever get to have that because you can't undo what was done. And that's what's really, again, tragic about a situation like this, because if you do down the road decide, you know, I kind of regret doing that, there's only so much of it that can be undone. And I think really that is one of the tragic takeaways of a story like this.
Well, I just hope that they don't inadvertently instill the same gender confusion that they have in these children. But there is a likelihood of that happening. And surely they really should have thought of that before they had these children. But obviously they don't think in the same way as normal people do. That's why they have this confusion of this gender. It's not something to celebrate. It's a tragedy. But the one good thing we can get from this is that obviously they do love each other. It is a man and a woman that love each other. And they are both, the children do have both a mother and a father there, even if there is a little gender confusion. So at least we can finish on those positive thoughts. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.